This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport Radio. Me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 11pm this evening. We're right in the throes of our Sunday night fan show special. And up now, it is all things Sheffield United. No game this week, of course. We shall wait until next Saturday when the Blades host Brighton and Hove Albion in their chase. Not for Europa League glory. No, for Champions League glory, of course. That was pretty much the case before Friday evening's news. But it's now even stronger for Sheffield United, as Manchester City, yes, Manchester City, have been banned from European club competition for the next two seasons after being found to have committed serious breaches of UEFA's club licensing and FFP regulations. Now, this is a story that will rumble on until the end of the campaign, and maybe, just maybe, it might get reversed from the Court of Arbitration for Sport. City have got 9 days, I believe it is now, to lodge that appeal. But will it be upheld? Will it not be upheld? It will mean that the team who finished fifth in the Premier League will go in to the Champions League. And that team could well be Sheffield United. We're going to get into that over the course of the next half an hour. We're going to be talking Dean Henderson. Rumours suggesting that maybe, just maybe, Manchester United are willing to let him go in the summer, and Sheffield United are the favoured team for them. They don't want to sell him to a rival. We're going to talk about Stan Collymore as well. He's made a few interesting remarks this week about any team that finishes below Sheffield United should be embarrassed. Mr. Collymore, I think you've built a rod for your own back there, son. Joining me on the line, as ever, we have Travelling Blade. Hello, Travelling.
You all right?
Yeah, great to have you on the line, buddy. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday evening. James Shield from the Sheffield Express and Star is here too. Hello, James.
I'm good, good. Hello, how are you?
Very good, thank you, guys. Right, we've got to start with it because it is the main talking point in football throughout the course of the weekend, and that is Manchester City's ban from European club competition. Man United would love a ban if they could even get into Europe, for crying out loud. But City being banned for 2 years from European club competition. Gents, I'll come to you first, Travelling. What does this mean for Sheffield United? Does it make any difference to their campaign, or does it mean that actually finishing fifth, which was a realistic possibility before the weekend's news, is now even bigger?
I mean, it still all feels surreal to me. The fact that before the Man City news came out, the fact that we were even entertaining any sort of European football, let alone the Champions League. I mean, I'm still amazed we've got promoted to the Championship, let alone, you know, in the Prem, and then challenging for Europe. It's still all surreal. I mean, I think maybe next season, if it happens, if we're walking out at Bramall Lane to the Champions League theme music, maybe then it will sink in. But it's still all surreal to me. I mean, you know, I see Blades fans saying, "Oh, we're going to be in Europe," and it's like, it still feels. I feel the same way like I did in League One. I still feel like, oh, Sheffield United, we're never, you know, we're not meant to be in the same sentence as Europe. I'm shocked we're signing European players, let alone even competing for European football. I mean, I think we should and maybe even will finish, I'd say at least top six. Whether we get fifth. I mean, I think from what I've read, I don't know, it depends on what happens. It depends who wins the League Cup. It depends who wins the FA Cup. But I think potentially up to eighth place will be playing in Europe next season to some level, even if only Europa League. Obviously, it depends who wins the domestic cups. But it still seems so surreal. It still seems so surreal, even before the Man City debacle. The fact that we are where we are, and the fact that, I mean, I just want it just to see Chris Wilder in Europe. You know, I mean, European managers, you know, shaking hands with Chris Wilder. More than seeing Sheffield United in Europe, to be honest, just to see Chris Wilder in Europe will be absolutely fantastic. I mean, just imagine like Billy Sharp at the New Camp bagging a late winner. Absolutely mental. But it's still, I mean, I'm still in Premier League dreamland. I don't think I've come to terms with the Premier League, let alone Europe, to be honest.
It would be a wonderful story. James, with regards to this story coming out, the perspective from a journo, a football fan in itself, and the reaction from the club, I don't know whether you've had much communication with them over this or their thoughts. I'd imagine they'd probably remained relatively tight-lipped and say it's business as usual. But this has huge implications, not just for Sheffield United, but for the whole of the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you're right. I mean, there has been a little bit of sort of communication, but as you would expect, they are staying pretty tight-lipped. And you know, in a sense, I understand that, because I don't think that their sort of targets, their priorities for the rest of the season will change. I think, you know, it always sounds sort of pretty boring. It always sounds a bit cliche, but it's what they've stuck to, and it's got Sheffield United as far as they have in the table now, and that is just to try and win the next game. You know, and I've touched on it before, Chris Wilder and the players will all tell you, although interestingly enough, some of the players are just beginning to sort of break ranks, and that sort of wall of silence, don't mention Europe as it were, is just beginning to crumble a little bit, and that's absolutely fine. You know, the manager still won't mention it, but you know, as long as they're sort of fifth, sixth in the table and he's still talking about wanting to drive up the table, he doesn't actually have to mention the words Europe and or the Europa League or the Champions League, because it's pretty evident, you know, that is what the target is now, as ridiculous as it sounds. But you're right, for the whole of the league in general, I mean, it's a big, big story. It's, you know, the ramifications are potentially huge. I think it's important to say that I think in some cases it's been a little bit sort of misrepresented what's going on, you know, when there was the comparisons made with PSG. Obviously, that's not what Manchester City sort of incurred the wrath of UEFA for this time around. It's, you know, effectively they've been accused of not being entirely truthful with, or you know, entirely sort of opaque with the evidence that they presented last time around. You know, I'm not aware of all the details myself, as you won't be surprised to learn in terms of what that sort of evidence was. We've obviously seen it in Der Spiegel. You know, and what their sort of claims and comments are on this. But what I will say is, if you go in for a competition, you know, that's run by a governing body that states what the rules are, then, you know, you pretty much can expect them to sort of be judged during executioner, because it's their competition after all. I'll be interested to see how it will play out. I suspect Manchester City will probably appeal it, so I do wonder if it, you know, that may well sort of knock back any sort of time when this punishment may well come into effect. I don't know if that may well sort of make it roll on perhaps into next season. But the one thing it does do, it opens up the possibility of European football and all the riches in terms of money and prestige, more importantly, I think, that go with that, to a whole host of clubs who ordinarily probably wouldn't be looking at the Champions League as their target. And I think when you see how clubs can benefit from playing in Europe, although a lot of managers all sort of make it out as if it's some great bind, I don't actually buy into that or get that at all myself. I think, you know, potentially it could make the Premier League even stronger as a whole, because, you know, if the club knows what it's doing and it's got the infrastructure in place to grasp the opportunities that playing on that stage offers, then it, you know, it can make you a stronger club as a whole, whoever you are.
Absolutely, and you're right about the quality of the Premier League potentially improving for the last, you know, 12, 13 games for some clubs now, especially with the fact you can go all the way down, really, to 11th with Burnley on 34 points. They are 6 points adrift of Spurs in fifth. Of course, they've leapfrogged the Blades today after that late, late win at Villa Park. But it will open it wide. It will open it really wide in the Premier League. And I just think that the appeal itself from Manchester City, we just hope, and you can only hope, that it is this decision made has been seriously thought out. And you're right, in terms of the intricacies of the deal, we don't 100% know. And if City haven't been in the wrong, yes, of course, it should be, they should win their appeal. But I can see it maybe being a one-year ban just to kind of maintain the faith that we should have in the governing bodies, and then City might return to Europe next year, maybe. Who knows? But there's been loads of reaction on Twitter with this, guys, and I'm pulling one out because it's an interesting story to tell, and one that both of you might bite on, and that is from Stan Collymore, of course. And he's come out and said, if Spurs, United and Arsenal don't or can't pull their finger out, given the gift that Manchester City have given them, they'll be embarrassed if Sheffield United finish above them. I know he's got previous here. He's previously said that Sheffield United should be way lower down in the table. And I know that Chris Wilder has a wall, doesn't he, James? He has a wall that he puts up certain quotes on and to kind of motivate the players. Surely these are going up there.
Does, and I would imagine it's pretty difficult to see the paint on that wall now, because certainly at the start of the season there was an awful lot of this, wasn't there? Listen, I hope anyway, as a former sort of player and a damn good player at that, I hope Stan's got his tongue very firmly in his cheek here a little bit, because you know I sort of get where he's coming from in a sense. I mean, you know, obviously you look at the resources that clubs like Tottenham and that have got available to them, and they far outstrip anything that Sheffield United have got. What I will say is, though, I think, and Stan knows this full well, is that at the end of a season, at the end of a 38-game season or a 46-game season, as it is in the EFL, you finish where you deserve to finish. So if Sheffield United do finish, let's say, fifth, who knows, they might even finish fourth. If they do, then that means they're the fourth, the fifth, or the sixth best team in the country that season. So they will deserve to get in it. And, you know, teams who finish below them in the table, do you know what? I'll be kind to them. They've got nothing to be embarrassed about, because if that is how the rest of the season unfolds, they'll have finished behind a really, really good, and in terms of their sort of, you know, the way that they approach the game, progressive football club. And you know, the players who sometimes, you know, and this isn't a criticism of Chris in any way, shape or form, because how can you criticise what he's done? I think sometimes, in a sense, the players actually at Sheffield United don't get the credit they deserve as well, because they're the ones who have gone out and sort of put all of the good work that the coaching staff have done into place. So, you know, these are really good players we're talking about here, and we've said before, they might not have the household names. I suspect some of them are shortly going to become household names. But, you know, more importantly than reputation, they know what they're doing on a football pitch. They've got the intelligence and the ability and the work ethic to improve. So if they finish above Tottenham Hotspur in the table, Tottenham Hotspur shouldn't be embarrassed, because they've finished behind a really, really good squad of players and a really, really good set of coaching staff.
Yeah, they have indeed. Mr. Blade, I'm presuming that Stan Collymore won't be up high on your Christmas card list?
No, I mean, I'd like to echo what James said. Is that I think Wilder said it himself, you finish where you deserve to finish. And I think at the end of the day, there's no shame in finishing below Chris Wilder. And no team will have worked harder for their place in the league. Wherever Sheffield United finish the season, there'll be no team that's worked harder for their place in the league than we have. And I think it was best summed up by a friend of mine, the vloggers at the Show and View, who replied to Stan Collymore, you know, responded politely, saying he's just calling Mr. Collymore a bad joke that's got out of hand and gone too far. And I think saying it's embarrassing finishing below us, I think, check what James said, yeah, Manchester United, Arsenal, Tottenham Hotspur, yeah, they've got, let's say, much bigger, well-known players, much, you know, much more financial infrastructure, much bigger clubs than us. But when we've gone toe-to-toe with a club on the pitch, all those, well, let's not say clubs, all those teams on the pitch, we've been as good, if not better than them, on every occasion. And that's what it boils down to. And, you know, it's not just when we've met them, when we've gone to other teams, and there's, you know, we've not just fluked it. It's not like there's like a lottery at the start of the season and said, oh, Sheffield United get a 5-point head start on Man U and Spurs. We've worked to be where we are, and that's just not from this season. That's ever since Chris Wilder came in 2016. He saw something in this club that no one else could see. I mean, I'd love to ask Chris Wilder, even if we've exceeded his expectations to a certain extent, because I just want to know how, you know, I'd love to know if we've exceeded what his expectations were. But we've worked every single person, you know, from the fans turning up, traveling the length of the country, to the physios, making sure players, injured players, get back as quick as possible, ready to play. The backroom staff, Alan Neil, the unsung hero, obviously Chris Wilder gets the limelight. The players that aren't really getting much game time, you know, the squad depth, your people such as Mo Besic, John Lundstrom in the last couple of weeks taking a backseat to Sander Berge. I genuinely believe that no club has worked or is working as hard as Sheffield United are, or is as proud to be, where they are as we are. And there's no shame in finishing below Chris Wilder, because you look at the managers of those teams. Yeah, Jose Mourinho in his prime was good, but I'd say now he's not as good as Chris Wilder. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, not fit to lace Wilder's boots. Arteta, just cutting his teeth in the game. He's doing very well at Arsenal. Well, I mean, his win rate isn't the greatest. Good result today. But genuinely, there's no shame, no embarrassment in finishing below Chris Wilder. And I really don't know what Stan Collymore... I think he's just trying to become relevant again, get a few bites on Twitter.
Well,
and I really don't know what he's talking about.
I tell you what, fellas, we're going to carry it on, James. I'll let you come back in as well, because some outlandish statements there from Travelling Blade. That is what these fan shows are all about. It's a Sheffield United fan show. More reaction on that next.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
It is the Sheffield United fan show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by the Travelling Blade and James Shield of the Sheffield Express and Star. Now, gents, I know we were talking about Stan Collymore before the ads, but I'm going to move on because I don't want to dedicate the whole show to Stan Collymore. He's had enough airtime. We're going to move on to some potential transfer talk now. And I know the fellas have been out in Dubai, haven't they, during the winter break. And CEO Stephen Bettis was out there as well. Apparently the board did meet senior management. They all met together in Dubai and basically discussed plans for the summer. I know that Chris Wilder is a huge advocate of Stephen Bettis, says he's absolutely brilliant. It's his negotiation outside of football that actually really helps Sheffield United in the transfer market. And one of those players, James, and we've spoken about it many times on this show before, is of course Dean Henderson, because news has broken this week that apparently United are keen, and you've mentioned it before, that they're keen to sell Henderson. If to any club, it would be Sheffield United. One, because they don't want him to go to a rival, and two, because reportedly they're also interested in Gianluigi Donnarumma. That's another rumour that surfaced this week. But another string to this Henderson going to Sheffield United bow.
Yeah, it's, I mean, they've been very sort of keen publicly to downplay it in terms of the sense that, yes, they want Dean back, but they think that will be on loan. And it's interesting. I wonder if, as well as they're doing, that almost makes perhaps the dynamic a little bit harder, because, you know, the better Sheffield United do in the league at the moment, of course, the more, as bizarre as this sounds at this stage of their development, the more of a rival for Manchester United they become, which does sound quite strange. But, you know, listen, if the club can find the money, and they did increase the budget to sign Sander Berge, you know, they obviously saw an opportunity there and wanted to take it, so they increased the budget that had been initially placed at Chris Wilder's disposal at the start of the transfer window. I just wonder if for a player of Dean's potential, and that is the key thing here with Dean Henderson, as good as he is now, he's still a baby in goalkeeping terms, and I think whatever money it costs to get him now, I would imagine it would probably be somewhere between 15 and 20 million pounds. That may well go up if he gets, as I think everybody expects, his first sort of senior cap pretty soon. But I think, you know, whatever what we already know of Dean and the sort of swift progress that he's made in terms of his sort of, you know, his goalkeeping attributes, I think I think it would be a pretty sensible investment, wouldn't it? It's you know, it's not often I think that you get a pretty sort of cast iron guarantee that whatever you spend on a player, you're probably going to be able to double or potentially even treble that a few years down the line. So as much as they'll play it down, and I think there's, you know, let's be right, there's an awful lot of diplomacy in terms of that, because Dean is still Manchester United's player, and Sheffield United do at the very least want to get a loan deal done for next season as well. So publicly they are going to sort of talk in those terms and not really commit themselves. I would be stunned, absolutely stunned, if privately behind the scenes they're not already trying to put some sort of framework in place where they can at least make an offer to Manchester United at the end of the season.
Yeah, you can just see it, can't you? Manchester United fans in dismay at the end of next season when Dean Henderson goes on to be the best goalkeeper in England and very much an England international number one. Travelling, I'm going to come to you now because, of course, it has been a couple of weeks, well, a week or so since Sheffield United haven't been in action. You've got to wait another week, mate. But let's take the positives from this winter break. The boys out in Dubai, no one on a 17-hour booze session, no one inhaling what we're led to believe was hippie crack inside these balloons out in Spain. It's all been business as usual for the boys. I think that the worst thing they've done is hold a couple of parrots on their arms or something.
Yeah. Got out of them with ball.
We've lost him. We've lost Travelling Blade. He's so upset about not watching Sheffield United over the course of the past week or so that he's completely gone. James, I'll come to you on this one. In terms of Sheffield United being out in Dubai, it's been a pretty refreshing experience, it would seem.
It has. I think Travelling Blade's probably gone because he's just stunned. What is happening to footballers in this day and age? Well, as you say, the most exciting thing they do on a trip abroad is mess around with parrots. It's shocking, isn't it? People like Peter Osgood and Charlie Cook and the like, they must be absolutely distraught when they they hear things like this. Yeah, but no, joking aside, I think it has been a pretty good trip, and I think it just goes back to showing it. Do you know what? I'm not going to mention the name of the player that we were talking about earlier, the player turned pundit, but what it does go to show is that I think Sheffield United are a club that they get the maximum out of all of the resources that they've got. And, you know, one of those resources is obviously a really good sort of professional ethic as well. So it has been a great trip for them. But I think knowing them as I do and obviously speaking to the manager before he even flew out to the Middle East, he didn't want to go. He wanted to carry on. He wanted the season to continue without a break. So they'll be absolutely itching to get back into action. I think they'll just be biding time in a very nice part of the world before they get down to the stuff that they do best.
Oh, absolutely. It has been, like you said, sunning themselves in Dubai. And I know that you are closely connected to Chris Wilder, of course, James. You speak to him week in, week out. But a lot has been made, hasn't it, of this interview that he did with Colin Murray as well, the At Home with Colin Murray podcast. That's part of BBC Radio 5 Live, of course. And he's opened up to Colin Murray. But I'm presuming with this, a lot of times when you are a journo, a Caesar, a guy, a manager, a footballer, week in, week out, you kind of are already aware of these sorts of stories. I suppose in the time that you have with Chris Wilder, he can't always divulge all his early secrets, everything about him, everything about his personality. But I guess, again, this is just good PR for the club, really, isn't it? He's spoken quite openly about his life, about his career, about the fact that, you know, he was a massive admirer of Sir Alex Ferguson, he said in the piece, and the fact that he's angry, you just have to accept that. He's never going to change.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is great PR for the football club. And that's one of the things that I know we've touched on this show, isn't it? That you can't be sort of petty. And from the football club's point of view, they're trying to maximise an opportunity, which I know is something I've said far too often tonight. But that's what being in the Premier League is. That's what being towards the top of the table in the division is. It's an opportunity. And if you can spread the message far and wide, which is obviously what the club are trying to do, then, you know, the more people who hear that, the more people who get to learn about the football club, I think the better it is for all concerned, isn't it? You know, you, I, everybody who follows the club, everybody who covers it in whatever capacity, and everybody who works for it, because it's a wonderful opportunity to spread the name of what is a really, really good football club, to be honest. And the other thing that I've sort of banged the drum up here about sort of over the past couple of years, actually, is I think it's a great opportunity to spread the message, you know, about the city as a whole as well. And I know, obviously, there'll be, you know, the blue and white half of Sheffield will sort of be rolling their eyes a little bit when I say that. But I think it's a great opportunity, not just for the football club, but for a great city that sometimes gets overlooked a little bit, I think, on the sort of the national agenda, other than obviously on Love Sport Radio, of course, who have been great supporters of Sheffield United and Sheffield as a city, of course, since we've started doing this.
Absolutely. James, what a way to finish the Sheffield United fan show for this weekend. Thank you very much for joining us, mate. Always a pleasure to have you on the line. That was James Shield there of the Sheffield Express and Star. The Blades back in action next Saturday at home to Brighton and Hove Albion. Just 1 point adjust to Spurs now, of course. They've leapfrogged Sheffield United into fifth spot after that win against Aston Villa today. Right at the death from Heung-min Son. But the challenge is there for the Blades to get Champions League football this season. Remember, if that appeal from City is rejected, they're yet to appeal, to be fair, it has to be said. I think it's 8 or 9 days they have left to appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport on that ban from European club competition for 2 years. Sheffield United could be in the hunt for a Champions League spot. And I tell you what, Stan Collymore, that is most certainly not embarrassing whatsoever. We'll be back next week with all the reaction to that game with Brighton and Hove Albion. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.